Well, I'm going to speak for yourself from the crib, sponsored by the Popeyes chicken sandwich. Good. All right, speak for yourself from the crib on this wonderful Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. We have an awesome, fantastic show planned for you today. Former Heisman Trophy winner, Super Bowl champion, I believe, Reggie Bush will join us. Reggie has some comments about what the new rules about college athletes being able to market themselves and profit, how that's going to change college sports. We'll go in depth with Reggie Bush in about 30 minutes. Also, stick around. We're going to talk about, why am I forgetting this, about Damian Lillard. Chris Haynes, our very own Chris Haynes at Yahoo Sports, Chris Haynes had a report about Damian Lillard saying he doesn't want to play if the Portland Trailblazers aren't going to be in the NBA playoffs. Stick around for all of that. But first, we're going to bring in LeVar Arrington from his crib. We're going to talk about Cam Newton, who is still unsigned now that we're closing in on the end of May. Cam Newton still unsigned, and Albert Breer of the NFL Network had an interesting report about the reasons why Cam Newton remains unsigned. According to Breer, there are three main reasons: his decline in play, his health, and questions about how he fits as a backup. After the recent signing of Joe Flacco, ESPN's Fielding Yates pointed out an interesting fact on Twitter, saying, quote, Cam Newton is now the only active quarterback who opened the 2019 season as a starter that is currently a free agent, the final domino in the QB market this offseason. Fielding Yates' tweet, of course, as Twitter is prone to do, led some people to connect Cam Newton not having a job and Joe Flacco being a backup. And then, of course, there was a little bit of the race car played. But anyway, we just want to start here with this question to Marcellus, and LeVar can follow in. Should we be surprised that Cam Newton isn't on a team right now?
We should be surprised. Yeah, as a matter of fact, yes, we should be surprised. But what I liked, what Albert Breer laid out, those three points, the decline in play, his health issues, and not being able to get to Cam Newton physically and make sure that he's good to go. And then also the questionable reluctancy to be a backup, or at least a perceived reluctancy to be a backup. I think he did a great job of outlining those three reasons as why Cam is right now unemployed. Now, anyone in the NFL who suffers from one of these is going to be in a compromised position. But all three of these together in combination is why you see Cam Newton right now unemployed. And I understand exactly where the teams are coming from, and I understand the feelings that Cam Newton must be feeling right now, because he can't believe with his talent, with his game, it's on the shelf right now. But you have to look at situations like this when you're in a tough spot between being a questionable starter or a reluctant backup. That's how a Chase Daniels passes you in a race that he's not equipped to passing you in. And Cam Newton has to realize that because of all of these circumstances creating this perfect storm against him, he just is going to have to sit this one out and wait until the opportunity presents itself. But it's unfortunate and, yeah, surprising that Cam Newton, having the resume he has, still having that ability level, is still sitting there waiting for a job.
Yeah, I tend to agree with what you're saying, Marcellus. It should be surprising that Cam Newton hasn't been picked up by another team. But after getting more information and being on top of this conversation, I mean, Albert Breer, whoever wants to talk about it, they probably paying attention to our show. Listen, you can't be surprised with the information. One being that they waited until they hired a new head coach. It's very important, okay? They waited to release Cam after they got a new head coach, which means that they brought in their new head coach, and they gave their head coach the opportunity to evaluate Cam Newton and what he felt he could bring to the table, if it was worth keeping him or cutting bait and moving on from him. Once he was let go, after they brought that new head coach in, you got to believe that the conversation has now turned to, there was a reason why this new head coach, new to the NFL, let go one of the more iconic figures and leaders of a team to move on from him. I think that's a damning piece of information, along with some of the other things Marcellus says, is going to make it difficult for him to land a job right now.
Listen, I'm not going to say surprised, because I don't think we should be, given the coronavirus and this pandemic that we're in and how everything is shut down. And it's nearly impossible for an individual team to get a read on Cam Newton's health fully. And so I'm not surprised, because and this is what bothers me when people start bringing Joe Flacco into this. Joe Flacco just signed, you know, a low-level deal with the New York Jets to clearly be the backup to Sam Darnold, a quarterback that the Jets are committed to, that they believe is a franchise quarterback. That's not a situation for Cam Newton. He has no interest in that. And so, again, I think when you go back to the coronavirus and the pandemic and the inability to get all the information you need to sign Cam, it's not surprising at all that Cam is unsigned, because I'll go back to Joe Flacco again. Joe Flacco, no one's trying to win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. No one believes Joe Flacco is the quarterback that can carry them to the Super Bowl. Cam Newton, his representation, and probably a few coaches and executives around the league still believe Cam Newton is potentially a franchise quarterback if we can evaluate his health and if we get to sit down with him and find out where his mind is. Cam is still in the market and projecting himself as someone, I can be your franchise quarterback. I can be your quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years. And because of the pandemic, he's not in a position to get one of those jobs. And so I'm just not surprised at all. I think a lot of the conversation about Cam is driven by social media. And a lot of the social media is just a dumbed down conversation. It's not a very sophisticated conversation. I'm not talking about Field Yates or Albert Breer, any of those guys that are tweeting out things. I'm talking about we kind of crowdsource our conversations. Will this be popular over social media? And that's how Joe Flacco gets dragged into this. There's nothing equal right now about Joe Flacco and Cam Newton. Cam Newton's in another lane. And I don't blame Cam for waiting. Maybe it's New England, in my view. Maybe it's Dallas. I really think Dallas would be a great situation for Cam Newton if this Dak Prescott situation doesn't work out. But I'm just not surprised at all, Marcellus.
See, I am surprised. And I respect where you're coming from, because you're just cutting to the cutting through all the junk and all the noise and all of the naysayers, the ones who are supporting. There's a lot of noise. I get it. You're just going straight to it. Here's the problem I have with that, though. As an example, if someone said, who's the smartest student in this class? You would point at who has the best GPA. You would have the best test scores. But when we're asking that in football right now, the meritocracy, we're saying, who's the best athlete? It's not just the one who has the best resume or the best ability or the best skills. It's actually the one with the perfect attendance, the one who's most cooperative, the teacher's pet. Is starting to move up when you just simply say, who's the smartest or who's the best? And Cam Newton is sitting there in a luxurious position compared to a Joe Flacco, because he has choices. Now, the problem with his choices is that the recipient on the other side is sitting there saying, I got different investment needs. I can invest in a Gardner Minshew. He's cheap right now. That's a good investment. I will get more return from a Gardner Minshew if he does anything. Investing in Cam Newton is a greater risk right now, and it's going to come at a greater cost. So what's happening here is that Cam Newton is just looking at the situation, says, like Jason Whitlock just did, cut to it. What's the real? Am I better than these guys? And what the system is pushing back and saying, it's not just that simple. And that's where Cam Newton finds himself, in the complex world right now, trying to deal with all his mitigating factors that is not going to get him employed anytime soon.
You know, it's not complex at all, guys. Let's simplify it and make it real, okay? Cam Newton does not have the luxuries that it seems that he has. That's first and foremost. Dose of reality, he has no luxuries. In fact, to say he's not in the same position as a Dalton or a Flacco is actually correct. Those guys are in a better position than what Cam Newton is right now. You want to know why? Because while Cam is trying to leverage what his career has been and trying to get the money and the respect of what a starting all-pro MVP of the league quarterback should receive, you have guys like Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco who are signing minuscule deals to be able to prove that they should be able to either start or get a bigger contract. See, to me, what really throws this all off, and listening to what you said, Whit, what really throws this all off is, no, you don't sit back and say, I'm going to wait and be a starter when I can be a starter. We're in a pandemic. They can evaluate and address all those things that they're questioning that you brought up. So get yourself on a team and take that 1 year short-term deal and work your way. If you're as good as you feel you are, you're going to become a starter again, right? And then you can go back to the table and renegotiate your deal. I don't like the approach. The approach says to me, get my money now because my body's not going to hold up and I need to have my money right now. I need to have starting money right now versus waiting and proving it. I think that's where we're at.
I think given the amount of money Cam Newton has made in his career, this isn't some guy that only had his rookie deal. Cam Newton's made more than $100 million. He can afford to be patient. The longer we get on the other side of the pandemic and get back to normalcy, his value's only going to increase. Once people get in these training camps and take a look at Jarrett Stidham, take a look at Bobby Hoyer, when the Cowboys, if they get further down the road and there's still no Dak Prescott, and they're sitting there with just Andy Dalton. I'm telling you, Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl this year. He's tired of waiting. And at some point, he's going to say, you know what? Maybe Cam can do it. Maybe Cam and Andy Dalton can do it. The longer this plays out, Cam may have to be patient, swallow his pride and ego, and it may not be until the end of September. But somebody's going to make a play for Cam Newton once it's clear he's 1,000% healthy, and once they get a look at actually what they're looking at, Cam's going to be a starter in this league again. Marcel is very quick, and then we got to go.
Look, I don't agree with someone who is employed is in a better situation than someone's unemployed, because you have to factor in all of the variables. Cam Newton is waiting for something that's ideal. Everyone else of Cam's caliber, if you want to say Dalton, you want to go out there and say Flacco, whatever that is, they're just taking whatever's left over. They're just taking scraps off the table. Cam Newton is looking for the real meal, and he deserves that real meal.
What's left over?
All right, we got to go.
It's coming.
Yahoo's NBA insider Chris Haynes is going to join us next. He has a story on Dame Lillard saying he don't want to play in the new compromised NBA if his team's not going to be in the playoffs. We'll get into that. Speak for yourself from the crib, presented by Hyundai. More after this.
A healthy lifestyle should be easy, right? Eat veggies, drink green smoothies, exercise to get your heart rate up, and do yoga to bring your heart rate down. Woo! Maybe not so easy. But there is something that helps improve everything, and you can do it with your eyes closed. It's sleep. Sleep Number knows what it takes to sleep your best. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed lets you choose your ideal firmness, comfort, and support on each side, your Sleep Number setting. It's the perfect solution for couples. These beds are so smart, they respond to your every move and automatically adjust to keep you sleeping comfortably all night. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, for a limited time during the Memorial Day sale, save $1,000 on a new Sleep Number Special Edition Smart Bed, a queen, now only $1,799. You only find Sleep Number at Sleep Number stores or by visiting www.sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. On a wonderful Tuesday afternoon. All right, let's roll out to Chris Haynes' crib and let's talk some NBA with Yahoo Sports top NBA insider. Chris, with a very interesting report this morning about Damian Lillard. Lillard telling Chris, if we come back and they're just like, we're adding a few games to finish the regular season, and they're throwing us out there for meaningless games and we don't have a true opportunity to get into the playoffs, I'm going to be with my team because I'm part of the team, but I'm not going to be participating. Woo! I'm not sure if we're going to have a season that has any renewal of the regular season, but pretty strong comments from Dame Lillard. Chris, let's start with you. Do you blame stars for not wanting to play in meaningless games?
No, I don't blame stars, Jason. I think, you know, Damian Lillard, I'll say this. First of all, there are star players who have been echoing those sentiments privately for the past month or so. Damian Lillard is the first star to openly come out and say so. And I'll say this, for people, you know, who are dismissing Dame or calling him out for having a stand, well, let's remember that when teams are out of contention for a playoff hunt, the team anyways goes out and sits their star players and allows the young guys to play. So that's essentially what would happen anyway if the league were to resume without a pathway for the Portland Trailblazers or teams like him who are a little bit outside that top eight, if there's not a situation where they can compete for a playoff berth. So he's just coming out and saying it. It's rarely you have a player, or really seldom you have a player come out and say he's going to sit games. But, you know, that's the format. That's what he's in. He wants to play for a championship. He's frustrated. He's been working out the last 2 months trying to get back to get his team in a position to compete and not having a chance to do so. That's going to tear him up. So he feels like it's best for him to sit down than actually go all the way out to Orlando, play games, risk injury, and at the end of the day, you're not playing for anything.
Man, I'm one of those guys that's got to call out somebody he loves, and that's Dame Dollar right here. Yeah, I blame the stars if they want to take this stance, and here's why. He's saying two different things that are actually conflicting right here. On one account, he's saying, I'm going to the bubble because I'm a part of this team, and I'm a risk taking the corona. But then he also says, but I ain't playing because the games ain't going to count if we're going to be the ninth seed and not going to get into it. So what's the point of going and playing, even though I took the risk, because the games are meaningless? One, I want to tell every professional athlete out there, if they're still paying you, those games mean something. Maybe not to you, maybe not to the standings, but they're meaningful because the reason you're out there in the first place is to get that check based on your craft. Two, if you, Weber State Dame Dollar sounds a little different than the Dame Dollar right now, sounding a little more Hollywood, because if you want to go in his record, his rookie year, they had 82 games, and this team only won 29 of them. 33 of them. And they were out the playoffs. And guess who played in every single game? Yo boy, my boy, Dame Dollar. So hold on. Were they meaningful then? You can't play the risk card because you already said you're going to the bubble, but you just don't want to play. So which one is it? It sounds like he was trying to do one of those things, rile up everybody. My boy John Heller calls it the Bay Area bravado, where, you know, you're just going to say something, that liberal gangster stuff. Like, I'm a qualified, but I hope it has the splash that y'all think I'm down for y'all. I don't know if he's down for his teammates, he's down for himself, or he's just down for the dollar. But my boy Dame didn't come across well on this one.
Yeah, I agree with Marcellus. Love Dame Lillard as a player. But when you join a union, again, it's about the collective. It's not about the individual. And maybe Dame Dollar feels like he was forced to join the NBA Players Union, but they have a union. And so I'm not someone, as a fan, as a journalist, I'm not really in support of them doing a regular season. I'd like for them to go just to the playoffs. But if the NBA, if Adam Silver, if Michelle Roberts, who leads the Players Union, if they decide it's in the best interest of the league, our television partners, the people who are responsible for Dame Lillard, I think Portland's on the hook to pay Dame Lillard about $250 million over the next 5, 6, 7 years. If those people determine that it's in their best interest for us to have a regular season, is this best for our television partners, ESPN, ABC, who paid more than $1 billion for the right to broadcast our games? If this is how we protect our league, then I think the stars, not just Dame Lillard, The stars should all get on board and do what's best for everybody, because it's easy. Dame can sit out and look how much money he's already earned. Look how much money they owe him in the future. But what about the mid-level guys, the guys at the end of the totem pole? What about doing what's best for them? That's the point of being in a union, Chris, and that's where I would have a problem with Dame Lillard and other stars acting in ways that maybe the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th through 15th guy on the roster can't do these things.
Well, I would say this, to your point. Look, there are agents out there, you know, I've already talked to a few. If their client has to go out there and play meaningless games, their agents, they're going to request that their guy sit, period. The only difference is Dame is saying this publicly. That's one thing about Dame. Like, he's not going to beat around the bush. Like, he's going to come out and really tell you how he feels. You know, look, this team, if this season were to continue to play out, they're getting Yusuf Nurkic back. They're getting Zach Collins back. That's their starting center and their starting power forward. I would pick them to come back and beat Memphis for that eighth spot. Memphis is up 3.5 games right there. And so with them getting healthy, they're in a good position. Memphis has the toughest schedule remaining in the NBA, and they're a young team. So it bodes well for Portland's chance to grab that eighth spot. And so if you're telling him, like, who is a person who's been training for 2 months to get back in shape to be able to play at a rigorous level, you tell him that he has to come back and play games that don't matter, play four or five games that don't matter just to get to a 70-point plateau, okay, that's fine. But play my teammate. I'm not going to get me out there playing. I'm trying to play for a championship. We should be in the playoffs, and we're not getting that opportunity to do so.
All right, Chris, we're going to move on. And I think I know the answer to this question, but we're going to ask it anyway. Look, Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that there's little momentum to have a regular season right now, that seems to be losing momentum, and no everyone's going away from that. We've heard from Dame Lillard. He certainly doesn't want to play in anything that doesn't have to do with the playoffs. Should the NBA jump straight to the playoffs? Is that the best thing for the league?
Well, I take offense to how you started that question off, Mr. Whitlock, because you made it come off as if I'm just automatically going to say that there should be some type of play-in system to allow Damian Lillard and Portland Trail Blazers to get in there. No, that's not what I'm saying. This is what should happen. Look, you can't devalue and dismiss what a team like Memphis has done for 65 games up to this point to allow a play-in system of where there can be 3 games that from postseason play. That's technically to this point. Now, like I said, if it was a full 82-game season, I believe that Portland would have snatched. I do believe it's just an experience factor, and they're getting healthy, and the Memphis team is a young team. But, no, that's not fair. That's not fair to those other teams. If the season's going to start back up, they might not like this, but I do believe that it should start with the top 8 teams from each conference.
Oh, man. The basketball guys didn't agree with you, obviously, and your Wi-Fi. But I'll just say that, yeah, of course they should jump straight to the playoffs. Being real about this. You got that Teddy Riley going on that prepaid Wi-Fi. Here's the thing. You gotta understand that in the Western and Eastern Conference, the 9th seeds are 3.5 and 5.5 back with 15-plus games to go. Sorry, too bad. Oh, well, one, if we only have the 16 teams in the bubble, now you're all of a sudden trying to reduce the risk level, which is an amazing thing right there. And then it's more meaningful for those guys going. A Dame Lillard doesn't have to step in it and say, I don't want to play, when in reality he's trying to show loyalty to his teammates in the same breath. He doesn't get caught up in that conflict. He's done. And you know what? Frankly, this year, the way it's set up, the way it's added up, the 9th seed on, all of them should be done. They're not close enough. Even if they could mathematically get there, realistically, they probably won't. So I want to go forward with the quarantine rules in the bubble and just make sure that we all know that perfect is the enemy of good. That means this won't be perfect. Someone will probably contract coronavirus. What do you do in those situations? I want the contingency plans highlight it before they step in the bubble so everyone knows what to expect. If Giannis or whoever, any star, contracts the coronavirus, does that mean he's gone or the team is gone, et cetera? Lay it all out, all the landmines before they step in the bubble.
I think they should go straight to the playoffs, but every team should be in the playoffs. And so I would give probably the top four teams, I haven't done the math on this, the top four teams in the East and the West, I'd give them a bye, and I would make everybody else engage in best of three series in the opening rounds of the playoffs. Because if I'm the NBA, I'm trying to do what's best for the overall league, and I want as many teams as possible involved in the restart of this league. The more teams, the more fans, the more if it's a nat. And look, everybody's going to follow the NBA, but I think you just take the fans from every city, get them involved in the restart of the NBA with some best of three series. Yeah, the top four seeds in each conference, East and West, get to sit out. But I would want everybody involved in the restart, and I would go straight to the playoffs and best of three series. That would be my solution. But, you know, I'm crazy and think a lot of dumb things. We're going to keep it moving. But there's an NBA player that Bucky Brooks thinks could be an NFL Hall of Famer. LeBron James could be an NFL Hall of Famer. Bucky Brooks is crazy. Darnell Smith is offended by this statement and has a question of the day built around Bucky Brooks thinking LeBron James is an NFL Hall of Famer. Speak for yourself from the crib presented by Hyundai. More after this.
My guy. My question of the day.
All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the crib. Happy Tuesday afternoon. Speak for Yourself presented to you by Hyundai. All right, time now for Darnell's question of the day. We're going to bring in Bucky Brooks of the NFL Network and our main man, Darnell Smith. Darnell has a specific question based off of something ridiculous Bucky said over Twitter.
Yeah, man. Let's talk some LeBron James, who recently revealed that Jerry Jones offered him a contract to play with Cowboys during the 2011 NBA lockout. Now I got Bucky Brooks says he wishes LeBron had taken it because he thinks King James would have been a gold jacket level player as a tight end. I couldn't hold back on this one, tweeting out, y'all got to chill with this nonsense. This is disrespectful to NFL players. To assume an NBA player could just go to the NFL and be a Hall of Famer is ridiculous. I know a ton of amazing athletes who couldn't last a day on the football field. So I want to ask y'all straight up, do you agree with me? Obviously, Bucky don't.
I think I have to frame this, Darnell, so you understand. Like, our colleague at Fox, Tony Gonzalez, averaged 6 points and four rebounds at Cal. He has gone on to be a Hall of Fame caliber player. Hey, look, Antonio Gates was a great basketball player at Kent State, averaged 20 points and seven rebounds his last season. He goes on as an undrafted free agent and scores 116 touchdowns. Guess what, Darnell? LeBron James is a more explosive athlete than both of those guys. As a high school football player, he was a two-time All-State wide receiver. And when I talked to Urban Meyer, who I'm sure you respect, and Mel Tucker, they both talked about him being a high-level player, a five-star player who would have done great things in the league. I have no doubt that if LeBron James had played football, LeBron James would have been a gold jacket-level player, particularly based on any basketball player that we've seen play tight end has had success, i.e. Jimmy Graham.
Bucky, I've seen a million people, superstars in high school. Once they get tapped and touched at the college level, I've seen them shrink. And then when you start, I've seen guys dominate the NFL. I mean, dominate college football. Move to the NFL and get touched by Ray Lewis and change their whole game. And you got to show me. You can't tell me. You can't project it out. Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, the guys you talking about, went out and proved it. I just can't speculate based off a Giants high school career that somehow he was going to be this NFL superstar. Hell, I played against some guys that were terrific in high school. Couldn't pee a drop in the college game. Marcellus.
Hey, yeah. If we're taking this former NFL player's vote on if he's feeling disrespected right now. I am not voting yes. I am not disrespected by this. I totally agree with Bucky, and I have my own points to add to this as well. First of all, don't take offense to this, Darnell, but when I read this, I said, this sounds smart only to dumb people. What you wrote was something, as I call, pep rally speak. And I've been guilty of doing the same thing you've done. I remember my senior year at our pep rally. I said, yo, we gonna win the championship this year. And everyone went crazy. It was viral around our school campus. And guess what? We went out there and were 0-10. Sometimes you can say something to people and they just get pumped on it because of the energy and the fact that that's what they think is real, but it's not the truth. Here's the truth. I was a San Diego Charger when Antonio Gates was not drafted, just walked off the streets undrafted from a former basketball player's career and decided to take on football. I remember the first day of practice, and this 6'5", 260, kind of round, not even like sculpted, just a guy that all of a sudden, when the ball was snapped, phone booth wiggle. Coach told me, he said, hey, Wiley, I need you to step it up in practice. Give Gates a little more because he's starting to feel himself. And I said, Coach, I'm actually trying. That phone booth wiggle, that basketball, that ability is different. In the athletic pyramid in this world, basketball is at the top. Every football player I know is a failed basketball player. And I'm not talking about did they actually try and go. Some guys are just forced to not even think about being a basketball player because they don't have that athletic level of ability. So a guy who has seen it at the top, played with one of the best, and have seen thousands and thousands of guys, let's not overhype. If you get hit, you're going to quit. Let's hype up, though. If you are a different type of talent, oh, it's going to show through in football.
I'm going to tell y'all why Bucky and Marcel, why y'all both are wrong. First of all, it's a blanket statement to say LeBron James will be a Hall of Fame player. I would have been cool with you saying he would make a football team or he could possibly be a starter or a Pro Bowl player a couple years. Y'all skipped all of that and said Hall of Famer. That's a special class of guys that you guys know more than me. So many great NFL players have not made the Hall of Fame. So to assume that an NBA player, just because he has a size and athleticism, could walk to a football field and be a Hall of Famer is crazy to me. Yeah, athleticism is a big part of the game. Duh, we know that. But a 50% of it has nothing to do with athleticism. It's about heart. It's about toughness. And we can't measure that. So I'm not saying LeBron couldn't have been that. Like, it's not possible at all. Sure, based on physical gifts, there's a possibility. But to just, like, why say it? Like, we have no evidence other than his high school tape. We all ate in high school. I know guys in the hood right now was cold in high school. That don't mean nothing. So my point is, if LeBron could be a Hall of Famer, then basically you're saying almost all NBA players could be in the Hall of Fame because they're all crazy athletes. Giannis, Zion, Westbrook would be better than Ed Reed based off what you guys are saying. It makes no sense.
Oh, it does make sense because here's what I want to do. Because when you make projections, you got to start at the floor. So you talked about, oh, it's crazy with Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez. So let's do this. Jimmy Graham was a sixth or seventh man at the University of Miami. Jimmy Graham barely played football at the University of Miami on their squad his last season. He goes as a third round pick. He has scored 74 touchdowns. And when you ask people around the league, hey, is he tough? Is he rough and tumble? No. They were talking about him being soft, not a physical specimen. He doesn't block. So if he is the low point and he has been able to score 74 touchdowns without being a guy that loves physicality, imagine someone who actually likes playing football, who played it at a high level, who has more size, athleticism, and leaping ability. Imagine what he would do if Jimmy Graham is the low point. And Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates are the high
Bucky,
point. And
Bucky,
Marcellus
stop.
Saw Antonio stop, Gates when he started. He saw him when he started.
Bucky,
come on,
stop.
Man.
Stop. You can't call Jimmy Graham the low point. Bucky, you can't call Jimmy Graham the low point. You're acting because you're acting as if hundreds of former basketball players
haven't tried to move into the NFL and failed. There have been plenty. I know two of them from my college. We had a guy named Paris McCurdy, who was a great basketball player for us, led us to the Sweet 16, looked the part of an NFL player. I think it was the Broncos that gave him a try. It didn't work. Just a few years ago, I'm sorry, the name is slipping me, but one of our best players, 6 foot six. No, he went to the Chicago Bears. It didn't work out. This happens every year. So Jimmy Graham is not the floor, and we got to quit reacting to anecdotes and react to reality, which is has a far bigger breadth of information than, hey, this guy and that guy made it, so therefore X, Y, and Z can make it. A lot of guys tried this conversion after being decent college basketball players, and they fail. They don't. A lot of them don't even make it to training camp. They OTAs, mini camp, weeds them out, the whole nine yards. So it's not just Jimmy Graham and the success stories. We're pointing to a few of the success stories. It ain't no different. It's like me. Let's say I continue on and lose this weight and get down to 250 pounds like I want to. I will be the rich. You can point out, well, everybody can lose weight. Well, no, they can't. You know how long I've tried, how many people have failed, blah, blah. You just can't point to the success stories and then apply it to everybody. LeBron James, to me, would have to prove it. This whole comment, conversation is disrespectful. It's the hardest game to play. It requires the most mental and physical toughness. Maybe LeBron has it. Maybe he doesn't. I just need to see proof. I'm from Missouri, from the show me state. You got to show me.
Right.
All right, we got to keep it moving. Reggie Bush,
right,
who could have been an NBA Hall of Famer, according to Bucky Brooks. Reggie Bush, just around the corner. We're going to talk some college football and new rules about paying athletes and how that could impact it. Speak for yourself. From the Crib, presented by Hyundai. More after this.
That's my dog.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. From the Crib, presented by Hyundai, Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. Fantastic Tuesday. Let's keep the show rolling. We're going to roll out to Reggie Bush's crib. Reggie, the former Heisman Trophy winner, NFL star, caused a bit of a stir this week with some comments about changes coming to college football or college athletics that will allow the athletes to profit from their images, perhaps. Reggie's saying, telling Playboy magazine, guidance is the one thing the young athletes coming through the college system miss on so much. I missed on it. They're about to start paying college athletes. This is something that has never been experienced before, and it's going to destroy some people if their foundation is not in the right place. Reggie, clarify, expand on your opinion here.
Well, I think what I'm alluding to is that we need to make sure that we have proper guidance for these kids now once they start to make the money, right? Because we got past the first hurdle, right? First hurdle was we have to allow athletes to be able to make money off name, image, and likeness. So now that we're here, we do that, right? Because I do believe that there are so many things that I'm even learning right now, which I was exposed to at a much earlier age. I think young college kids, financial, especially for college athletes, money now and going into this environment that's different, it's new, and it's something we have never experienced before. We got to have the fundamentals, the proper guidance, and proper people in place to ensure that these athletes are able to either invest their money, passive income, or other things like that.
Man, I think not just college athletes, everyone should be given financial literacy once they come into any amount of money. It almost should be a requirement to open up a bank account that there's a seminar attached to that bank account that says, we're going to give you intelligence in terms of how to work with your money, no matter what that number is. So, yeah, I'm with Reggie. It's going to do more harm potentially than good if you give a youngster some money and doesn't, you don't give them the proper training, understanding of what that money is. But let's be real. That's just not for youngsters, not just college athletes, adults. The average American millionaire is 57 years old. You know why? Because so many people are struggling in terms of learning what their money can do for them, even if they ever get into a situation where they can acquire that amount of money. So, yeah, Reggie hit it on the nail. But the thing is, I think the NCAA has to understand that their greatest responsibility is to make sure to give players proper value, not necessarily how they're going to handle and deal with the money that they are due and should be given. So let's make sure we prioritize, make sure they get their value in money, and then let's educate them on what that value looks like.
Marcellus, I've been concerned about these new rules as it relates to image and likeness and athletes being a profit from the very beginning. People have called this good news. I said it's very complicated and potentially devastating and bad news. So I agree with Reggie, perhaps for a different reason. And the thing I said at the very beginning of this, when this whole thing was being celebrated, was, hey, we're going to have guys going to college and going into games trying to build their image, doing things they normally wouldn't do so that their image and likeness is more marketable and potentially more profitable. So I think you're going to see guys come out of character. When you drop this into the college experience, like, oh, my image and likeness can make me money and I can take care of mama and maybe my kid or whomever while I'm on this college campus. When I'm not starting, and I think I should be starting, and I think not only are you denying me a chance to get to the NFL, now I think you're denying me money right now. I think this is a potential problem. You're going to see more chaos in college athletics and more athletes acting out of character and acting out because you introduced this financial pressure and people. You could have offensive linemen who normally are quiet and kind of keep to themselves, perhaps doing things on or off the field, maybe things off the field to try to build themselves up so they could make some money in terms of marketing, image, and likeness. I think this whole new dynamic they're introducing hasn't been well thought out. I'm all for athletes making money while they're in college, particularly the elite pro prospects. I just don't think this is the way to do it. The NFL and the NBA have benefited from college football and basketball for far too long without them, to me, compensating in some kind of fashion. They should work it out with the NCAA where they can compensate the top prospects that will be entering their league because they bring a value. Having been stars at the college level and bringing that fan base to the NFL or NBA, there's a great value to that that I think the NBA and NFL should invest in rather than just letting guys go out here. And if you build up a brand and a profile over social media or wherever, your image and likeness can now make you profitable. What you're just putting a carrot out there, and I know this is going to hit people's funny bone, but you're putting a carrot out there for some athletes to go, I'm going to go to Colin Kaepernick route. Let me protest. Let me do something so I can maybe get my own shoe from Nike or so I can sell T-shirts with my image and likeness on it. I just think this could set off some real chaos in college athletics.
I hear what you're saying, man. And I have to remind people that this was not the goal. This was just a pit stop. And I think right now the celebration is a little excessive because this was not the intended goal. You are not giving these athletes a base salary, which would minimize what a lot that you just said, Jason, in terms of theatrics and guys now going out there and trying to make a name for themselves. You give them a base salary, annuity, whatever it may be, that takes care of them in compensation versus a contract that's based on marketing. That's a whole different animal. If we were getting paid based off of marketing, oh, I have different takes for you. I got some sizzling hot takes for you if you want to say it's about splash, not necessarily about substance. And then these kids should be supported financially off of a base value, not a marketing value. That's a 1% rule in college athletics. Only 1% will even survive and thrive under this premise right here because most guys are not going to rise to the level of a Trevor Lawrence or a household name to even capitalize on this. So remind everyone this was not the intended goal, just a detour in the pit stop.
All right, Uncle Jimmy's just around the corner. We'll have our approval rating for Cam Newton and get Uncle Jimmy's thought on the free agent quarterback. Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai, more after this. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. Uncle Jimmy joins us to talk about our approval rating for Cam Newton. Uncle Jimmy, you have some thoughts on Cam, the free agent quarterback?
You know. Man, look here. Let me tell you something. Cam Newton remind me so much of you ain't made that say it ain't even funny, man. First of all, both of them is sexhibitionists, okay? They both like taking their clothes off in public and having people look at them, okay? I mean, I'm just saying they both like doing that, man. But the problem is that Maydessa can take a lot of things, man, but Maydessa can't take you calling her my baby mama. All right? Because if you call her my baby mama, she's going to set you straight. She's going to let you know that she had a baby by me. She was my first wife, and she ain't no baby mama. Okay? Just like Cam Newton. Cam Newton ain't nobody's baby mama. Cam Newton is the starting quarterback. Don't you forget it. Okay? That's Cam Newton.
We're out of time. Thank God.